Imagine having a child who showed no interest in the things of God. That's what a woman named Kathy experienced.
One day, I remember my husband told him that God had a plan for his life. And he said, I have plans of my own. And that was the last time that we saw him in our home. The next time we saw him, he had been arrested for murder.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thanksgiving Day. When the pilgrims celebrated the first Thanksgiving, they didn't take it lightly. And they'd been through times of drastic sickness and scarcity. Still, they were able to thank and praise God for all that He had done. In our emotions, our finances, and our relationships, you and I are going to go through some scarce times too. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a woman who learned that in a powerful way when her son was arrested. First, Nancy's continuing in her teaching series called The Power and Practice of Praise.
Calvin Miller has written an allegory called The Valiant Papers. It's the story of how a guardian angel named Valiant deals with trying to bring his latest charge, an Ohio businessman named J.B. Considine, to faith in Christ. There's a quote in that book that has bearing on what we're talking about this week, the matter of praise and worship. He says, I've never forgotten that Daystar, which in this allegory is a name for Satan, Daystar began his great insurrection by frowning and skipping his morning alleluias. It must have seemed minor at the time, he says, but hell grows out of paradise gone sour. Joy is a discipline, and fallen angels were always those who grew negligent with their praise. Daystar began his great insurrection by frowning and skipping his morning alleluias. Do you know, the same way that he ended up getting cast out of heaven is the same way that a lot of my days go down. By starting the day with frowning and skipping my morning alleluias. Joy is a discipline, Miller says, and fallen angels were always those who grew negligent with their praise. We've seen that praise is a lifestyle. And I want us to focus on that today, that praise is not just an activity that we do at certain scheduled times. That's why I'm always a little uncomfortable with a church bulletin that says, or a program, an order of worship that says, you know, first we have the announcements, and then we have the choir sings, and then we have praise and worship, and then we have the message, and then we have the offering, or whatever order they do things in your church. All of life is intended to be praise and worship all the time. There's a picture of that in the Old Testament where the Old Testament priests were to offer up what was called perpetual incense to God in the tabernacle first and then later in the temple. They were to offer this up every morning and every evening. Every morning, every evening. Morning and evening, morning and evening. The incense symbolized the prayers and the praise of God's people. The incense going up to the throne of God. And interestingly, the incense was burned at the same time each morning and each evening that the oil lamps were lit. And what a picture that is of each time the oil lamp of God's word is lit in our hearts, which should be day after day after day, that we're also to offer up prayers and praise to the Lord. You see this theme of praise being a continuous lifestyle all the way through the scripture. Let me read you some verses. I'm not going to give you the references, but if you go to our website, we'll have those references posted with the verses in the transcript there. But we read in the Psalms, it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. How often should we be declaring God's faithfulness? How often? I can't hear you. Every night, every morning, every night. Psalm says, 7 times a day, I praise you for your righteous laws. Consciously stopping to praise God for his laws. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. All the day. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun until its going down. The name of the Lord is to be praised. How long is that? From first thing in the morning till last thing at night. And from east to west, all around the world, there should be a perpetual incense of praise going up to the Lord, up to his throne, from the saints of God, the people of God, all around the planet, morning, noon, and night, all the time offering a praise to God. Every day I will bless you, the psalm says, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Therefore, by him, Jesus Christ, Hebrews says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise is to be the eternal, day in, day out, forevermore occupation of every believer. Not just believers whose lives are going well. Anybody can praise the Lord when the sun's shining, they've got money in the bank, and their kids love them, and their husband is nuts about them, and romancing them. And I mean, who couldn't praise the Lord when all those things were happening? But God loves it when we praise him continuously, regardless of what is going on around us, in us, in any part of our lives, as we praise the Lord. He loves that. William Law was an old-time writer, and in his book he said, one who makes it a rule to be content in every part and accident of life because it comes from God praises God in a much higher manner than one who has some set time for the singing of psalms. God loves it when praise is our discipline, our practice, our habit, and you have to train yourself in this habit. We have to work at it. I've been working at it more consciously over the last week as I've been working on this series and consciously focusing on first thing in the morning, my first waking thoughts, verbalizing praise and love to the Lord, regardless of what I have to face that day. Stopping during the day as often as I'm reminded to thank the Lord, to praise him, and then as I pillow my head at night, saying, I love you, Lord. I bless you, I praise you, give him thanks, regardless of what has happened throughout the course of that day. You see, praise is an expression of faith. It's an act of the will. It's not something we do based on our emotions. We praise the Lord, and we can choose, and we must choose to praise him regardless of how we feel, regardless of our circumstances. David understood that in the scripture. As you read through the Psalms, as I've been doing in recent days, you see him in some very desperate situations. But out of the midst of those desperate times, there comes rising this incense of praise and prayer. Praise and prayer. Praise and prayer. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, as you go back and study the background of that psalm, you realize that David wrote those words when he was a fugitive, living out in the wilderness, fleeing from a maniac king who was determined to take his life. Now, we know the outcome. We know how the story ends. But David didn't. You don't know the outcome of how your story ends, your situation that's so desperate right now. You can't see how or where or when it will end. Sometimes you wonder if it will end. And in the midst of just such a circumstance, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will. He decided, I'm not going to magnify King Saul and my circumstances. I'm going to magnify the Lord. So he said, my soul will make her boast in the Lord. You know what happens when we do? Not only are our own hearts lifted, but the hearts of others around us are lifted. He goes on to say, the humble, the oppressed, others who are down, they will hear my praising and they will be glad. So he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Put the spotlight on him. Put the magnifying glass on him. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You see, praise is not a response to our circumstances. Praise the Lord, I got a raise at work today. Praise the Lord, I found a parking spot in that terrible rainstorm. Now, I will grant you that it's a whole lot easier to praise the Lord if you got the raise or you got the parking spot. But it's when you don't get the raise. It's when you don't get the parking spot. It's when your husband doesn't get healed of that terminal illness and you're left as a widow. That's when praise is especially pleasing to God. That's when you demonstrate faith that God is bigger and greater and more real than any circumstance you may be facing in your life. You see, praise often involves our emotions. Let all that is within me bless His holy name. But there are times when you praise God in spite of every emotion in your being screaming against it. And you say, I will praise the Lord. I will lift Him up. For David in the Old Testament, it didn't matter whether he was sitting on the throne or being pursued by the one who was. It didn't matter whether he was hungry or full, whether he was happy or sad, whether he was with his best friends or he was left all alone. All that mattered to him was that God was there. And as long as he had God, he could choose to praise. That's why David could say in Psalm 57, O God, my heart is steadfast. I'm stable. I'm okay. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. I wonder if there's some circumstance or situation that you're facing at this season of your life that's hard, it's painful. There doesn't seem to be any end in sight. There doesn't seem to be any hope. And you've been focusing on your circumstance. And you've given way to whining and moaning and groaning. And you and everyone around you know that that is the most important thing in your life right now. Would you at this moment just lift your eyes upward? Say, Lord, I choose to transfer my focus from me and my circumstances to you. You are great. You are good. You are worthy of my praise. You are working at this very moment to fulfill your holy, eternal purposes in my life and in the lives of those I love. And so, Lord, as long as you give me breath, I'll use that breath to praise you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Accept, O Lord, I pray, the sacrifice of praise that we bring into your presence in this quiet moment, and be glorified. And may praise be our continual, eternal occupation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe this holiday finds you in a tough situation. Perhaps it's hard to give thanks on this Thanksgiving Day. I hope today's words from Nancy Lee DeMoss have pointed your eyes upward and reminded you about the power praise has in our lives. Today's teaching from Nancy is part of a series called The Power and Practice of Praise. You can hear the entire teaching online or order on CD by visiting reviveourhearts.com. A woman who's been listening along with us knows what it's like to praise the Lord in the middle of a very difficult trial. Here's Kathy.
I just wanted to give some of you ladies, and I think a reminder to myself, just a word of encouragement about how God is so faithful in our lives when we just trust Him and when we remember that He is God and that He is in control of everything and that we can praise Him in every circumstance, that there is an opportunity that we have just to be in His presence and trust. In the year 2000, my husband and I had an opportunity to put that into practice in a big way. We have three children, and for many years, we have had a problem with just thinking that we could control our children's life. And we tried to get help for a son who was on drugs and alcohol. And we continued to seek all kinds of institutions to put him in, all kinds of secular help, help from the church. We prayed, you know, continuously about this. But sometimes you have to get to that point where you just give it all over to the Lord. And we got to that point. And a few years ago, we just had the realization that nothing that we had done was working in his life, and that it was just going to take an act of God to help him. And he had walked out of our home one day. I remember my husband told him that God had a plan for his life, and we were talking to him about Jeremiah 29:11. And he said, "I have plans of my own." And that was the last time that we saw him in our home. The next time we saw him, he had been arrested for murder. He had been on drugs and alcohol and had taken the life of his girlfriend in an argument that they had. And, you know, you look at those times and you think, this is the worst time of my life. But somehow I didn't think that. It was as though God, it's like the scripture says, is that peace that passes all understanding. He just, God takes you through that. And we saw the Lord work in just miraculous ways, awesome ways, like you were talking about during that time in throughout the trial and our son's confession. And he is now in Cummins prison. He received a life sentence without parole. And when he was first arrested, I could put both my hands around his waist. He was so emaciated and just was at death's door. And I believe with all my heart that God saved him in this, because now he is healthy. He has read his Bible several times. And I've just seen God work in his life and in the prison and in the men that he talks to in prison. It's amazing to see what God has done. And for women who have wayward children, I would just say there are many, many scriptures in the Bible that say, you know, I will save you and your household, and that the people that return, there's Jeremiah 24:7, that God will give them a heart to return to him. And praying those scriptures has been just a blessing to me, to know that God is so faithful to do that in our children's lives. It's awesome.
You know, Kathy, it was interesting that you said to me, when we were talking a little earlier today, that you felt that now looking back, there were some things God had done in your son's life and is doing in your son's life that you don't think probably would have happened any other way. Mm-hmm. And really, that meant that as a mom, you needed to get out of the way and let God do whatever was necessary, as tragic and painful as it was. And of course, you pray that God will spare your children from that kind of extreme end. But as it turned out, it's not the end.
No, it's not. There are so many worse places than prison. And there's all kinds of prisons. I had a dear friend of mine a couple of years ago who died with MS. And I think so many times about the prison that she was in, because she was paralyzed from her neck down for years. And I can remember being with her and talking about that, because it was like being in a prison. But that, you know, the prison of being lost is so much worse a prison than being saved and in a jailhouse. As long as we're alive, God can use whatever situation we are in for his glory. And he does that over and over again. We just see that illustrated.
And that's why we can offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, because there's so much that God sees and knows that we don't see and know. Someone has said, and you've heard me quote it before, that God's will is exactly what I would choose if I knew what God knows. Well, the problem is I don't know what God knows. And, well, maybe that's a good thing. But I don't know. And that's where, when we come into these circumstances, we can lift our eyes up and say, God, I don't see, I don't understand, I can't comprehend how this could possibly turn out for good, how this could bring you glory. But I trust that you know, and that you are at work in this child's life, or this husband's life, or this parent's life, or this situation. You are fulfilling eternal purposes, and I surrender myself with thanksgiving to those purposes. And by the way, faith and praise go right hand in hand. The ability to praise is based on trust that God knows what he's doing. John Wesley said, our task is to give the world a right impression of God. The way that we respond to our circumstances, whether it's cancer or car wrecks or wayward children, as Elizabeth Elliot has said, suffering can be anything from traffic jams to taxes to tumors and everything in between. But the way that we respond in those circumstances is always giving those around us an opinion of God. And we can give the world a right opinion of God if we will receive those circumstances and give thanks. And that's why we read in Psalm chapter 50, verse 23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. When we give thanks in circumstances where the world can't imagine giving thanks, what do? We give the world a right opinion of God. We glorify him. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. That's why we live. That's why we exist. We were created to bring him glory. And that's how we do it. I mean, we would all say, I want my life to bring glory to God. But that's how we do it. It's in the nitty-gritty of everyday life, with its major and minor traumas and upsets. And in every circumstance and situation, the way that we're responding is either bringing glory to God, or it's giving the impression that God is not a good God, that he has fallen down on his job, that he's not come through. Now, we don't want to give the world that opinion of God. That's why we need to praise, to be thankful people, to smile. I tell you, if anyone ought to know how to smile, it ought to be Christians. And even in circumstances of life where it's a challenge to smile, to reflect a heart, and I'm not talking about always being giddy or always laughing or always being lighthearted. There are circumstances and seasons of life that some of you are walking through right now where there's no way you could be lighthearted, and you shouldn't be, but there can still be joy, and there can always be praise, always. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you give us to trust you, to wait on you, to look to you, and to give the world a right opinion of you. So help us to do that today in the circumstances we know about and the ones that are going to happen that we don't yet know about. May it become our instinctive, supernatural reaction by your grace to give thanks in everything, that you may be glorified. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sometimes Thanksgiving is hard. Even on Thanksgiving Day. I do hope you've gotten some important perspective on thanks and praise from Nancy Lee DeMoss. If you'd like a copy of today's powerful story and teaching, you can get it on CD as part of our current series, The Power and Practice of Praise. And when you order or make a donation of any amount, we'll say thanks by sending a gift. It's a set of beautiful Christmas cards that Nancy wrote. For more information, just visit reviveourhearts.com, or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. It's really important to have a spirit of praise in our heart, but we also need to let praise out of our heart and into our mouth. Find out why tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.